Warning: The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
This is The Savage Nation. My name is Greg Knapp, in for the doctor. And, oh man, we got to talk about what's going on with the Sony hacking. We'll be doing that a lot today because there's so many different angles on this. We've caved again. Caved again! Well, it's a Japanese company, Greg. We haven't really caved. Right, okay. We've caved again, and what does it mean, and why should you care? I mean, you know, it's Hollywood. So what? They finally got a little bit of what was coming to them. They're hypocrites. So what? You know, let it go. I don't care about Hollywood. Well, the problem is, it's about a lot more than just the movies. So we're going to get into that big time. We've also got a horrible story out of Australia. Stabbing. I'm wondering if the people in Australia are going to start demanding the right to bear arms. You know? Because they got these really, really tough gun laws in Australia. But somehow, a criminal who is a radical jihadist was able to get a shotgun, which he's not supposed to be able to get, and take a bunch of people hostage and, you know, kill people. And now we got the stabbings. But, you know, it's guns are the problem. It's always the guns, not the people holding them. So we got a lot to get into in the first hour of the broadcast. My name is Greg Knapp, in for Dr. Savage. 855-400-SAVAGE gets you on board. 855-400-SAVAGE. You can also go to michaelsavage.com for a lot of the stories we'll be talking about today. So this isn't just about a movie. By the way, the FBI came out and said that they believe North Korea is responsible for this. Oh, really? Thanks for the heads up. But, of course, there's also some intelligence coming out. Fox News had the story that it looks like parts of this hack are so sophisticated that it wasn't done by North Korea. And, you know, that was the first thing that hit me. I said, wait a second. The first cyber war we lose is to North Korea? North Korea? Come on! I mean, North Korea is so backwards, and their people are starving so badly that they're eating grass. And they're the ones who beat us in a cyber war? Yeah, maybe we do need to do a little bit more in our math and science curriculum. I mean, something's going on. They say, well, Russia and China helped them. Mm-hmm. The FBI said this. North Korea's attack on Sony reaffirms that cyber threats pose one of the gravest national security dangers to the United States. Yeah, that's kind of important. I mean, think about this. You're 9,000, 10,000 miles away from the United States. You're a smaller nation. You don't have the kind of military that the United States has. How do you strike at the big, bad, evil Satan that is the United States? Well, how about cyber attacks? I mean, because, hey, we don't even have to risk any of our soldiers. We don't have to shoot off any of our missiles. We don't have to worry about a proportionate response from America coming in with shock and awe and air war, maybe even boots on the ground. No. They won't do anything if we just do a cyber attack, and so far they're right. $200 million plus already that Sony has lost over this. I was reading something the FBI told them. You know, all your computers, all your data, it's not even worth it to try to recover these. You're going to spend more money trying to recover all your data and fix all these computers than if you just started over. Oh, man. So before you say, who cares, it's just a stupid movie. It's just a Hollywood company. Well, Sony's a lot more than a Hollywood company, but this is a lot more than a movie. You know, because are we now going to say that other countries can tell us what movies we can make? And at that point, are we going to have other countries telling us what news we can report? I mean, it's bad enough sometimes that our own government tries to tell us what news we can report. You remember Cheryl Atkinson? She said that she had people from the White House screaming at her on the phone. And CBS wouldn't run some of her pieces. That's why she left CBS. So do we need a foreign country doing that? Don't think that they won't. You know, Obama's such a hypocrite on this because he came out, and we'll play a little bit of his press conference later on in the program today. But he came out talking about, you know, we got to stand up for freedom of expression. We got to stand up for freedom of the press. We got to stand up for... Well, I don't remember him saying that when it was about a video on YouTube over Islam. Remember that? Yeah. Oh, that was supposed to be what started the attacks in Benghazi, which was always a lie. But then we find out, oh, no, no, this guy, this kind of movie should not be up on YouTube. YouTube takes it down. The guy gets sent back to prison. Well, but that was for probation. See, it was probation violation. See, this guy was involved in financial fraud, and one of his probation rules was that he couldn't have access to the Internet. So it wasn't supposed to be on the Internet. And he was on the Internet with that YouTube video, so we had to put him back in prison. My first job out of college was a felony probation and parole officer. I can't tell you how many times the people on my caseload violated their orders of probation. I went to the judge, filed a violation of probation act. The judge looked at it and said, ah, let's give him another chance. You don't usually go back to prison for a small violation of your probation orders. It usually takes multiple times. There were times I had people who tested positive for cocaine on probation with me. I'd violate their probation. The judge would say, well, are they in treatment? Yes, Your Honor. Well, let's give him another chance in treatment. But this guy, he went on the line and put up a video. It wasn't even anything online that had to do with finances, which was what they were trying to stop. They were trying to stop him from defrauding people again online and defrauding them out of their money. That wasn't what it was about at all. The guy just put up a movie about Islam, put him in prison. See, so we'd already allowed the terrorist to tell us what we could and couldn't do in terms of freedom of expression. You know, and that's the hypocrisy of these Hollywood liberals, too. This movie should be up. This movie, but have you seen them make any kind of movies like this making fun of Islam? No, you know why? Because they're worried they're going to get beheaded. They're worried there's going to be terrorism. They're worried they're going to have their studios blown up. But they can make all kinds of movies making fun of Jesus Christ. And listen, they have a right. You know, I'm a Christian. I won't watch those movies. But they have every right to make them. And they know Christians won't try to behead them. And Christians won't try to blow them up. And Christians won't threaten them. And Christians won't steal all their information and release it to the public. So it's okay to make fun of them. I mean, remember when people like Susan Sarandon and Sean Penn and Tim Robbins were all saying, there's a chill wind blowing in America, because they said George W. Bush was trying to censor him. It was over the Patriot Act, which, of course, was done by Congress, signed into law by the president, but both by Democrats and Republicans. But that was, I mean, this is a threat. Dissent is the highest form of patriotism, but now it's like, oh, we better pull that movie. Now, to some of the Hollywood stars' credits, they're saying it was dumb to pull the movie. Did you know, not just this movie, though, by the way, they pulled Team America. Remember that one? Team America. It was the puppet movie by the South Park dudes making fun of Kim Jong-il, the father of Kim Jong-un. It was a hilarious movie if you didn't see it. Remember? America, if, yeah. It was a little profane, but it was funny. And there was a draft house down in Dallas-Fort Worth that was going to play that movie as a giant middle finger to North Korea. And Paramount said, no, we're not letting anybody screen Team America right now. Profiles in Courage. Hollywood, a bunch of profiles in Courage. Nice, right? So, here's a question. Was this just a cyber crime, or is this a cyber act of war? And what do we do to counter the attack? And what's next? I mean, is this going to embolden more hackmail? Instead of blackmail, it's hackmail, right? You go after a big corporation in America, and you hackmail them. Maybe you end up making a couple $100 million. And how much of the responsibility to stop this type of hacking is to the corporation, and how much of it coming from an outside foreign government is up to our government to stop? Because it is, in my eyes, an act of terrorism, and depending on what they do, an act of war. And isn't that one of the things that our federal government is also actually supposed to do, is defend us from that kind of stuff? I mean, that's something the federal government's supposed to do. I mean, if we actually went by the enumerated powers, man, our government could be really small and actually do the things they're supposed to do well and leave the rest to the states.
But, you know, that makes me crazy. That makes me an extremist that I actually want to follow the Constitution.
We caved. Will it be more corporations next, or will it be our electrical grid? Will it be more parts of our infrastructure? Oh, by the way, the hackers now have put out another message to Sony, saying that they made the right decision, crediting
Sony for the very wise decision to cancel the release of the interview. And the company believes the email was from the hackers because it followed a pattern of previous messages. And the hacker message told the studio, now we want you never let the movie released. These guys have really got to work on their English grammar, don't they? Now we want you never let movie released, distributed or leaked in any form of, for instance, DVD or piracy. How about YouTube? Yeah, that too. How about just online to any posting agency? Yeah, that too. And we want everything related to the movie, including its trailers, as well as its full version, down from any website, hosting them immediately. Yeah, well, people in hell want ice water. Although, you know what? So far, they've been getting what they want. The email was titled, Message from GOP. Wait a second. The Republicans did this? No. GOP, Guardians of Peace, not Grand Old Party. I think it's code. I think it's really code. It's really the Republicans pretending to be North Koreans, and that's why they use GOP. And now, oh, man, you down with GOP? Yeah, you know me. Guardians of Peace. Now they're wondering, will more of their emails come out? So here's the other question. Did Sony pull this down because they were worried about more emails being released and they worked out a deal with these hackers? Hey, if we take the movie down, will you stop releasing our stuff? Did they do that? Or were they really just worried about money because they thought fewer people would go to the Cineplex this Christmas season? Or were they worried that maybe they'd really follow through on some kind of a physical attack? Although, you know, our intelligence said the possibility of that was extremely low. 855-400-SAVAGE, get you on board. 855-400-SAVAGE, we're just getting into the beginnings of where all this goes, including what we should do to strike back. So far, our White House has simply said, and President Obama said today, we're looking at a proportionate response. Oh, isn't that nice? See, I don't like proportionate responses. Because you know what happens when you do a proportionate response? Then they hit you back. What you want to do in a fight is a disproportionate response so you win. Somebody in a fight punches you in the shoulder. You knock them out by punching them hard enough in the jaw to break it. Fight over, I win. That's what you do when you're fighting a war. No, we want a proportionate response. Oh, that's great. That's real good. Let me start with John in WABC. John, you are on the Savage Nation. I'm in for the doctor. My name's Greg Knapp. Go right ahead.
Greg, I got to tell you, I'm going to sound like a lunatic, but I don't buy this whole thing. I think this is a setup somehow by Obama to attack our First Amendment rights. And when you look at the millions of dollars that Hollywood has given the Obama administration to get him elected twice, this just stinks of hell and high water.
Yeah, you're right, John. You sound crazy. Thanks for the call, though. I do not think it has anything to do with Obama setting this up. It makes no sense. It would help him in no way that I can see. No, this is a real hack. This is a real cyber attack. I believe cyber war, and I believe it's because the North Koreans are this weird that they thought a Seth Rogen movie was going to hurt their country. Let me get Eric in, WMAL. Eric, you're on the Savage Nation. I'm filling in for the doctor. Go right ahead.
Sir, I have to say that I think I have the right response for the United States, and that's I've put it on the whitehouse.gov petition website. It's to play the movie nationally on the anniversary of Kim Il-sung's death, which is July 8th.
Sounds great to me, Eric. You know, I liked Mitt Romney had the idea of, you know, release it for free and ask for donations, and you're probably going to make more money than you would have in the theaters anyway, and then you end up making more money than you lost by this hack, and you still are able to put this movie out and tell North Korea they can't tell us what to do. There's one other really cool idea about how to strike back at this that I'm going to get to you in just a minute. You got to stay tuned for this one. 855-400-SAVAGE gets you on board. 855-400-SAVAGE. My name's Greg Knapp. I'm in for the doctor. This is the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now. 855-400-SAVAGE. 855-400-7282. Savage.
My Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I trust to protect my wealth with gold and silver. Call 800-BUYCOIN.
This is the Savage Nation, In for the Doctor. My name is Greg Knapp, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-SAVAGE. We're talking about, of course, the North Korea Sony hack, but it could include China, Iran, Russia. We're not sure. Well, China or Russia, probably not Iran. I don't know that they're so great at it. But why do you care? Is it an act of war or just a cybercrime? And what's next? And why would we cave in like this? Well, you know, to save people. Protect. What should we do in response? We're going to get to that in just a second, but I want some of your thoughts, too. Let me get Alex, WJR Detroit. Alex, you're on the Savage Nation. My name is Greg Knapp, filling in. Go right ahead.
You know, recently we've heard in the news about ISIS trying to, you know, recruit people to come to their side, and something like this can only embolden those terrorists to try to intimidate us in the same way.
Yeah, I do think it plays right into that whole mindset of we're able to make the great Satan do what we want them to do. I mean, this is a huge victory for North Korea. I mean, there's no other way you can look at it. So what do you do? I like this from, thanks for the call. I like this from the Wall Street Journal today. Do you guys know who Park Sang-hak is? Park Sang-hak. Park Sang-hak is a activist in South Korea. This is what this guy does. He loads up USB drives, thumb drives, with movies and television programs that you're not allowed to watch in North Korea. He ties them to the bottom of helium balloons, and when the wind's blowing right, he launches them from South Korea into North Korea so that the average North Korean, when these things drop, can get on his computer and watch this stuff. And he's trying to bring the outside in. Kim Jong-un has labeled him enemy zero. They actually sent an assassin to kill him with a poison-tipped pen. This is for real. So Mr. Park now wants to put the movie, The Interview, on these thumb drives and float them into North Korea.
I love it. It's a great idea.
But now, the Wall Street Journal says, hey, Sony might fear retribution if they release this movie. Okay, how about this? Have the U.S. government buy the movie rights from Sony and release it into the public domain. Then anybody can share it any way they want to. Online, in a file, on a DVD, on a thumb drive, and make it so that everyone in the world has seen this movie. Dub it into North Korean for the North Koreans. Have them laugh at their own leaders. What do you think? We got a lot more on this coming up. My name's Greg Knapp, in for Dr. Savage.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Hey, how you doing? This is the Savage Nation. I'm in for Dr. Savage. My name's Greg Knapp. We're talking about the Sony hack, and we're talking about the cave-in on not just the interview, the Seth Rogen, James Franco vehicle. $44 million to make the movie. I think $8.6 million for Seth, 4 point something for Franco. And I heard it wasn't very good. But so what? You got to pull it because we're telling you to, because we're hacking into you and we've got all your data. And what happens next and why should you care? Well, you know another part of this? I think we are becoming conditioned to cave in like this. We're becoming conditioned as a society to back down because we shouldn't be offending anybody. We got to be politically correct. Do you realize? Did you see what CNN had? CNN had somebody on. Where do I have this? And the person on CNN was actually the journalist was actually questioning whether, you know, anybody should ever really even make a movie that talks about assassinating a world leader. Oh yeah, it was Sharon Waxman. She has worked for the Washington Post. She founded the Wrap. She said, quote, what is the thought process behind making a movie in which we decide to depict, for our amusement, the assassination of a living foreign leader? I mean, you know, you got to look at that too. Kind of basically defending North Korea over this. Do you remember this movie? I think it was called The Death of a President. You guys remember that? While President George W. Bush was in office, it was a mockumentary that showed the assassination of George W. Bush. It won awards at independent film festivals, shown in this country and around the world. That was okay, and rightly so. As much as I think it was a horrible movie to make during a presidency, it's okay. First Amendment right. But now, you know, why would we make this for their amusement? It's horrible. Let me talk to Silvana in Maryland, WMAL. Silvana, you're on the Savage Nation. My name's Greg Knapp, filling in. Go right ahead.
Yes, Greg, two quick things. Today I was wrapping gifts, and I was watching my DVD of Team America World Police, which I own the uncensored and uncut version, and there's
yes.
a scene where Kim Jong-il says that he's going to blow up every movie theater in the United States, which I thought was interesting given the circumstances of today.
Uh-oh, wait a second, Silvana. Are you saying that the people from South Park gave Kim Jong-un the idea?
Well, yeah, that was his father saying that. But
that's it.
Who knows?
That's it.
Anyway, and then you asked the question of if we should call this cyber terror, and the State Department spokeswoman yesterday didn't call it that at all in her news conference. And the president just had a news conference, and he blamed Congress for their lack of legislation regarding cybersecurity. So if the president doesn't even acknowledge that North Korea is wreaking havoc on our computer systems, who will?
Yeah, and he does this all the time, doesn't he, Silvana? I mean, yesterday he said, you know, I just say people should go ahead and go to the movies. And today, like you said, he started talking about cybersecurity and trying to blame it all on Congress again, which means, of course, the Republicans. When, yes, Congress is working on exactly how much should the law get involved in telling companies what to do with their cybersecurity, and how much should the federal government do to protect our nation from cyber threats. But it's never his fault, never wants to call things out. I've got a big story today. He won't even call jihadism. They still won't call what happened at Fort Hood terrorism from Major Nadal Hassan. They call it workplace violence. Yeah, it's not shocking. It's just par for the course. Now, hold on a second. I want to talk with Steve, WMAL, says he's in cybersecurity. Might know some interesting facts on this. Steve, you're on the Savage Nation. My name's Greg Knapp, filling in.
Hey, my face is kind of melting over these last few days, just in terms of the comments that are coming out of the White House, comments that are coming from FBI, the focus that we're giving this particular issue against the backdrop of the last 10 to 15 years of cybersecurity. In fact, against the backdrop of the last 3 months of cybersecurity. I have been in the field for quite a long time. We have been suffering under an incredible deluge of breaches from 2009 forward. We have done absolutely nothing about them when they've originated from China or Russia. We are paper tigers in that regard. And I think the only reason we're puffing our chest out here in response to the issue from North Korea is because we know that they won't do anything, and it doesn't jeopardize any international trade.
Well, but see, they're not puffing their chest out. They're not even saying what they will do, and I don't think they're puffing their chest out enough. But Steve, I think you make a great point, and stay with me here for a second, because I agree with you that we've had all kinds of cyber attacks on us, and China has been at the forefront. Russia's been involved. Of course, we released the Stuxnet virus on Iran, which we should not have told people we did. And I'm wondering, Steve, how much of our responses, though, to these other cyber attacks are also done quietly, because we don't want everybody to know what we're capable of doing in cyber attacks. So how much of this is stuff that we're never going to know is really going on?
Well, I mean, I think as it relates to Stuxnet, right, there's no direct evidence that it was us, but the leaks from the White House were not helpful in that regard.
Exactly.
You know, I would not overestimate our capabilities from a defensive perspective as it relates to USG. I mean, literally 3 weeks ago, 4 weeks ago, the unclassified networks of the White House were infiltrated either by the Russians or the Chinese.
Well, and they say the Russians and the Chinese are involved in this one, Steve. And you got to remember, the only way North Korea has access to the Internet is through China.
Yeah, it's actually a Thai company that is a joint venture, you know, yeah. But yeah, you know.
But it goes through China is what I'm saying. I mean, it goes through China. It doesn't go straight out from North Korea, from what I understand. That's what's in the news. And they could control this if they wanted to.
Right. Now, I mean, here's the thing, right? I guess what I'm driving at is, you know, any discussion about cyber war and proportional response and all of that in regards to, you know, this particular hack is just a little bit mind-numbing to me, considering that, you know.
Right. This isn't a big one is what you're saying. But, Steve, here's why it's making the big news. Because they can talk about this without violating any kind of classified information. It's going to scare people a lot more if they find out that they were getting close to hitting our electric grid or our infrastructure or our military or the White House or those kind of classified files. This is about Hollywood in a movie. People can understand it like that. It's not as scary as the other ones that I talked about. And I think that's why it's getting so much more publicity. Plus, because all these emails were released. I mean, you know what the number one magazine in circulation is today by numbers of circulation? People magazine. People care about Hollywood. They want to learn more about it. They love the rumors. They love all these emails coming out. And that's why this one has traction. Thanks for the call. But I'll tell you, I agree with Steve that this is not the most dangerous. All this does is alert us to the real dangers that are out there. Cyber war is probably where we're the most vulnerable right now. Because nobody's going to beat us by trying to come here with boots on the ground and do something to us. But they can try to cripple us economically. They can try and cripple our electric grid. They can try and do lots of different stuff. What do you think? 855-400-SAVAGE gets you on board the program. 855-400-SAVAGE and you're in. You can go online to michaelsavage.com. Let me get Jeff in, WABC. He wants to talk about, you know, the idea of just releasing this movie and letting everybody watch it. Go ahead, Jeff. You're on the Savage Nation.
Yeah, I kind of... The one thing I agree with is they should release the film for free. But you know what? I don't think they should ask for donations. I think they cower to the pressure and, now they got to pay the price. But I do have one question.
Well, let me stop you for that real quick, Jeff. And I would agree with you. The only reason I think it would be smart is because that might give them the incentive to release it, because right now they're not. They're saying they're not going to release it at all. And I'm wondering, because, you know, they got this threat from the hackers again today. Hey, if you totally destroy this movie and never release it, we won't release any more of your emails. And I'm wondering if they made a deal with these guys.
Maybe. Two things, just real quick, though. Maybe it's somebody just going after the capitalism part. I mean, you know, is that a possibility? And what... Say we find out, you know, it is North Korea. What can we actually do? Is it a military option? Is it to go back after them with cyber? What would be a just punishment for them?
Good questions. Thanks. I appreciate it, Jeff. Yeah, I'll get to them. Okay, first of all, the tough thing is, I mean, do you really want to start a shooting war and send our people in, or even a bombing war, and all the things that will go in with that, with China and Japan and all the geopolitical ramifications in that part of the world over this? I don't want to. Do you? There are other options. Should it be a cyber counterattack? Well, possibility. There are a lot of people that don't like that idea because they say it could give up a lot of what our capabilities are and could backfire on us and could be used against us again. And once you release some of the things that we can do to attack a country, then they might learn how to fight it, and they might actually it might sweep the internet. I don't know. I like the idea of what the Wall Street Journal said we release this movie everywhere possible and dub it North Korean and get it into North Korea. Listen, humor can do a lot. The people of North Korea don't even know half of what's going on outside of their country because they're government won't let them know. Okay, but what else could you do? Well, here's the one from the Wall Street Journal. U.S. struggles for response to Sony attack. It says, we got to find the appropriate solution. They're talking about a proportional response over at the White House. Well, General Martin Dempsey, chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, says he's very concerned that indicators were leading the U.S. to conclude a nation state was behind the attack. Yes, we know. North Korea, maybe China, maybe Iran. Okay, so what do you do? Well, if you go after economic sanctions, how much more can you sanction North Korea? I mean, they're already having a very hard time feeding their population, and economic sanctions seem to only hurt the people. Unless you can really target the elite in the Communist Party in North Korea, then what's the point? All right. By presidential directive, by the way, the military has a responsibility to help protect and defend the critical infrastructure in the U.S., power grid, banking system, communications network, but the entertainment companies are not part of that infrastructure listed in the directive. So now there's a dilemma. How much does the U.S. government do? How do they respond? If it turns out that we have a state actor attacking corporate America, what is the responsibility of the central government? That was a senior U.S. official talking to the Wall Street Journal. What about going after China? Well, China's already been in trouble for using cyber attacks against us, so are they really going to want to help us? If you do the counter-hack attack back on North Korea, U.S. cyber policy experts say it could backfire on us because the U.S. right now is able to spy on North Korea by maintaining a foothold on some of its computer systems. And a retaliatory cyber strike could damage our ability to spy on North Korea. And you don't really want to start a war, so what can you do? I gave you a couple ideas, but what do you think? 855-400-SAVAGE gets you on board, 855-400-SAVAGE. Let me talk to Leo, WMAL. Leo, you're on the Savage Nation. My name's Greg Knapp, filling in for the doctor. Go right ahead.
Hey, Greg, I'm kind of looking at it differently. You know, Hollywood's been a bunch of greedy bleeps all along. If they're that stupid to make a business decision like this, then let them go bust. I hope they go bust. And I hope the rest of Hollywood follows suit. I mean, really, what are these people going to do? Are they going to pull a Red Dawn and parachute into America? No, that won't happen.
You know, it's instantly you say that. It's interesting you say that because there is an intelligence report out today that North Korea dispatched covert commando teams to the United States in the 1990s to attack our nuclear power plants and major cities if we get into a conflict. That's from a Defense Intelligence Agency report dated September 13, 2004. So there were five units of covert commandos trained for the attacks inside the United States. They had agents in place to attack our nuclear power plants. I don't know how accurate that is, but that's what the report says. So, yeah, it sounds like they actually were trying to do a little Red Dawn thing at a very, very small level. And I understand how you feel about this, Leo. Thanks for the call. I understand not being a big fan of these Hollywood companies and not really caring what happens to them. That's why I say it's well beyond that. It's about our First Amendment rights. It's about having a foreign nation be able to bring a corporation to its knees. It's about having a foreign nation be able to attack us through the internet and what that means for the next time and the next time and what does it do to encourage this again. That's why it's important. Now, I don't really care if Sony loses some money, but that other part of it is pretty doggone important. Got a lot more of your phone calls to get on this in just a moment. 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-SAVAGE gets you into the program. And do you think this is a cybercrime, or is it really an act of war? My name is Greg Knapp. This is the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Your Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com. It's the only company I trust for tangible assets, gold and silver. Call 800-BUY-COIN.
This is the Savage Nation. I'm in for Dr. Savage. My name's Greg Knapp. We've been talking about this Sony hack, and I think it's about a lot more than just this movie and what happens next and what we're going to do back to North Korea and who's responsible for stopping these type of cyber attacks or cyber war. Rich in KSFO wants to jump in. Rich, you're on the Savage Nation. Go right ahead.
How you doing?
Doing well.
Well, I listen to conservative talk radio for entertainment, and as usual, the hypocrisy of the right knows no limits in regards to the blatant fascism advocated and employed by the conservative party that falls by the wayside when it's an industry that sometimes has liberal leanings such as Hollywood.
Okay, first of all, fascism is a far left thing, not a far right thing. Secondly, I don't know what you're talking about right wing fascism, but I will tell you this. I am for Hollywood releasing the movie and making money off of it. And I've been saying that for the entire hour so far, so I don't know what you're talking about. Now, if you're talking about the call that said, I really don't care if Hollywood goes bankrupt, that's because he's tired of Hollywood making movies that are anti-American. I was, by the way, I'm conservative, not necessarily Republican, and conservatives and conservative Republicans were actually against bailing out the banks, and they're against corporate welfare. You know who's done the most for corporate welfare, Rich? Obama. Have you seen Obamacare and how much these big corporations are making off of it? how about the Fed and its quantitative easing? Have you seen how much the big corporations are making off that? That's what's really changed the gap between the rich and the poor under Obama, and it's never been bigger. He has been Mr. Corporate Welfare King. But hey, thanks for the call. My name is Greg Knapp. I'm in for Dr. Savage. This is the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage. Warning, the Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
Hey, this is The Savage Nation. I'm in for Dr. Savage. My name's Greg Knapp, and you can jump in at 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. You can go to michaelsavage.com, and don't forget to check out Stop the Coming Civil War, perfect book for Christmas for a stocking stuffer. You can still get it right now. Go to michaelsavage.com. We're going to talk a lot about President Obama's presser today. We'll just play it tiny, but we're not going to, you know, bore you with this thing. And then this piece out of the Politico where Obama's aides are saying, Obama's free! Obama's unleashed! Unleash the Kraken! And you think it was bad before with the executive orders and the presidential memorandum. Well, you ain't seen nothing yet, baby. But for now, Obama's off to Hawaii. You know, I got a question. And I haven't been able to find this anywhere. If somebody can find this, call me and let me know. How often did President Obama take his family to Hawaii when he wasn't the president? You know, I think it's kind of an expensive trip. And he doesn't live in Hawaii anymore. He supposedly lives in Chicago. But he doesn't go home to Chicago for Christmas, because who wants to go to Chicago for Christmas? It's cold, man. He goes to Hawaii every Christmas. I mean, every freaking year we're paying for him to go to Hawaii. Well, he pays some too. Yeah, it costs us a ton. I mean, it's like the furthest place in the United States the president could go for vacation with Air Force One and all the entourage and all the equipment and everything else that's got to go over there and all the security, and he does it every year. Did he go to Hawaii every year when he wasn't the president? I don't think so. Camp David's nice this time of year. How about you have Christmas at Camp David? Or fly back home to Chicago? No, I don't want to go to Chicago. Are you crazy? All right. So we're going to get into all that. And speaking of, you know, just kind of making things up, Eric Holder has made up new law, new civil rights law. Wait till you hear the new categories of people he has now thrown into the civil rights law. We'll get to that. And the ladies on The View tried to respond to the Obama's interview with People magazine, where they basically said, yeah, America's a racist nation. And the ladies on The View couldn't even get their facts right. We're going to get all that to you this hour coming up on The Savage Nation. And just for grins, there's an interesting piece out today about how often Americans eat alone now and what they do instead of talking to each other. It's all coming up. 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-SAVAGE gets you in, michaelsavage.com. So let's start. There was a press conference just a little while ago today, and President Obama comes out and he starts telling you how great he is. This is what he does at the start of every press conference that he has. Right before he jumps on the plane to go to Hawaii, we're going to let you hear a little bit of this, and we may stop it to, you know, challenge a couple things. Here we go.
In last year's final press conference, I said that 2014 would be a year of action and would be a breakthrough year for America.
I got a pen and a phone.
And it has been. Yes, there were crises that we had to tackle around the world.
Yeah, just a few.
Many that were unanticipated. We have more work to do to make sure our economy,
Ebola,
our justice system, and our government work not just for the few, but for the many.
Right.
But there is no doubt that we can enter into the new year with renewed confidence that America's making significant strides where it counts.
Oh, yes.
The steps that we took early on to rescue our economy and rebuild it on a new foundation helped make 2014 the strongest year for job growth since the 1990s.
Okay, stop.
Stop just a second. All right, look. The depth of the recession was in 2008. That was the depth of it. Supposedly, we've been recovering for I don't know how many summers in a row now. It is the worst recovery in modern history. We still aren't back to the same numbers of jobs that we had in 2008. We're getting close, but not back to the same numbers. And our population has grown significantly in the last 5 years. The reason the unemployment number has come down is because there are fewer people who are participating in the workforce. And the jobs we are getting, there's a lot more part-time jobs. And get this. Household income, adjusted for inflation, is lower now than it was during the depth of the recession. And we just got a report out that the vast majority of these new jobs are being taken, what did I see, by immigrants. What? Oh, I'm sure that's not true. That can't be true. But no. I mean, this is an unbelievable recovery. And I mean, you never... Oh, here it is. New report out. All of the net gains in jobs since 2007 have gone to immigrants, both legal and illegal, according to a new report from the Center for Immigration Studies. It means fewer native-born Americans are working today than were at the end of 2007. Yep. They say the number of employed native-born Americans has decreased more than 1.45 million from November 2007 through November 2014. The number of employed immigrants has risen by more than 2 million. That's from the Department of Labor Bureau of Labor Statistics that the Center for Immigration Studies has analyzed. All right, let's hear what else President Obama had.
All told, over a 57-month streak, our businesses have created nearly 11 million new jobs.
Okay, stop. In order for us to get back to where we were in 2008, we need to be putting in at least 300,000 new jobs every month. We've only done that like 1 month and I don't know how many last month. We got a long, long way to go to really get this back up and running. And as we say, we need full-time good jobs, not part-time Mick jobs. Go ahead.
Almost all of the job growth that we've seen have been in full-time positions.
No, that's not true.
Much of the recent pickup in job growth has been in higher-paying industries. Oh. And in a hopeful sign for middle-class families, wages are on the rise again.
Okay, stop. Wages are on the rise again. No, I mean, look, it's really easy to spin this stuff. He'll pull this little sliver of time and say, see, look, very recently it's been good jobs. And here, it was this. The numbers I gave you are true. Household income lower now than it was in 2008. Now, have we had some good stuff? Yes, listen, I'm not denying it's better than it was. But here's my point. I believe, and I blame Bush and Obama for this, if we had not bailed out the banking system and done that ridiculous stimulus package that did nothing and had not done the cash for clunkers, and had not done the quantitative easing, and had not done all this crap trying to manipulate everything, and now pop up another money bubble, we would have had a deeper recession, but it would have been shorter, and we would be back to a real growing economy again, not this slow 2% growth. You know, under the Reagan recovery, there were quarters we were growing 8% and 9%. We haven't seen anything like that here. Go ahead.
Our investments in American manufacturing have helped fuel its best stretch of job growth. Also since the 1990s. America is now the number one producer of oil.
Yes.
The number one producer of natural gas.
Yes.
We're saving drivers about 70 cents a gallon at the pump over last Christmas. And
all right, stop it for a second. This is where you want to talk about spinning things. President Obama has done everything he can to stop oil production. Now look, I don't blame President Obama for the price of gas. I don't credit him for the price of gas, just like I didn't blame or credit George W. Bush. There's only so much a president can do. It's a global commodity. However, everything that Obama could do to decrease your gas price, he has not done. All of the advances that we have had from the fracking on natural gas and oil has come on private lands and state lands. On federal lands, it has decreased. When you take away the expansion that George W. Bush did on his way out the door, Obama has done nothing to increase that. All of it is from the private sector and state lands, and he's trying to claim credit for it now. Go ahead.
Today, our rescue of the auto industry is officially over. We've now repaid taxpayers every dime and more of what my administration committed, and the American auto industry is on track for its strongest year since 2005.
All right, that's enough. All right, stop. Okay. Yes. And look, all the money has not been paid back when you talk about the stocks that we sold because we didn't get back the money that we put in to buy the stocks, from what I understand. But secondly,
to have the government do what it did with the auto industry in Detroit of breaking bankruptcy law and not giving the same amount to the shareholders and the bondholders, the people who had actually, you know, had bankruptcy law to back them up, that they were supposed to get first bite at the apple to get paid back, and instead giving more to the union workers, that hurts. That doesn't help the future of investments in this country. And by the way, again, if you had had them go through real bankruptcy, I think the auto industry would be stronger. The better companies would have bought up different parts of the companies that were going through bankruptcy, and you might even have a stronger auto industry in this country. But no, Obama thinks if eventually the government gets paid back, then it worked. This is the problem, the just total different ideologies and belief system. I believe in less government, more freedom, free market is going to do a much better job of turning this around than the elites in the White House who think they know better than everybody else and want to do a centrally controlled system. And to act like somehow what's been going on now is this huge, huge recovery and awesomeness coming from Obama, man, oh, man. Let me get Tim. He's in Michigan, WJR. Tim, you're on the Savage Nation. My name is Greg Knapp, filling in for the doctor. Go right ahead.
Yeah. Well, welcome to the big guy's desk there. And maybe you can counsel me and help me. Every time I hear the word recovery in regards to the economy, smoke starts coming out of my ears. I mean, I just, the word recovery and what the kabuki dance of smoke and mirrors that they're pulling, there's no recovery. It's insanity.
Well, I think you speak for a lot of people, Tim, because, you know, when people say, hey, I have a job now, but I'm working part-time and in a job that wasn't as good as the one I used to have and at a pay that is a lot less, then you don't see the recovery. When you see that the quantitative easing and what the Fed's been doing with that and this money bubble that's been propped up that really is going to these huge Wall Street money makers on the market and traders instead of to the average guy with his portfolio who's still not back to where it was in 2008, then you're right. People say, that's why I don't see a recovery. And Tim, I think you speak for a lot of people, and it doesn't matter how many times Obama tells you how great it is, when you look at your own job, your own household income, and your own 401k, you're saying, man, I'm barely back. I'm not even back to where I was in 2008. Thanks, Tim. I appreciate it. How about Mike in Toledo? Mike, you're on the Savage Nation. My name's Greg Knapp filling in. Go right ahead.
Hey, this is Mike in Fayetteville, North Carolina.
Oh, I'm sorry. That was a different Mike I was going to, but go ahead. Go ahead.
Yeah, I think Obama is agnostic, and he didn't want to have anything to do with a Christmas tree or anything like that, so he wanted to get it as far away from the White House as possible so they can have their own whatever they do.
And that's why you go to Hawaii? Don't they have Christmas trees in Hawaii?
Yeah, but probably not where he is.
All right, thanks, Mike. I don't think that's it, man. He lit the National Christmas tree a little while ago, didn't he? I don't think we need to go that far on him. Let me go to Toledo, the other Mike. Mike, you wanted to talk about this Hawaii trip. Go right ahead. You're on the Savage Nation.
I saw where the trip is costing the taxpayer $20 million for 17 days.
I hadn't seen the numbers yet, man. I tell you, it's a lot of money. It's the farthest place in America you can go. I mean, maybe he needs to go to one of the other 57 states.
Well, I think
that he's always talking about.
I think that his family, his hidden family, Frank Marshall Davis's family, that's his real father.
Well, it's definitely his big mentor, whether it or not. But thanks, Mike. I appreciate the call. Here's my thing, what I really want to know. Did he go to Hawaii every year before he became president? Because he sure has been since he's been president, and you sure have been paying the vast majority of it all. But, hey, he is the president, and he gets the perks. 855-400-SAVAGE gets you on board. 855-400-SAVAGE. Forget the press conference. His aides are saying, you ain't seen nothing yet. Obama doesn't have another election to look at. Obama unleashed. What happens next? We'll get to that in just a moment. And what Eric Holder has deemed a new protection under civil rights law. We'll hit it in just a moment. My name's Greg Knapp, and for the doctor on the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Hey, our Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, The only company I trust for wealth insurance, gold and silver. Call 800-BUY-CO-IN.
This is the Savage Nation. I'm in for the doctor. My name is Greg Knapp, and you can jump in at 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-SAVAGE, and michaelsavage.com. Don't forget to check out the new book by Michael, Stop the Coming Civil War. Great for a stocking stuffer. We were talking about President Obama telling us how great everything's going. The economy's on the rise. I mean, everything's awesome. Everything is awesome. You saw the Lego movie. Yeah, I have kids. So it's so awesome. Because President Obama has acted on his own, and Politico has out Obama Libre, Obama Free. It's been a bad year, but the president is closing strong. And they list all these great things. Obama feels liberated, his aides say. The recent flurry of aggressive executive action and deal-making, a pivot for him to spend his final 2 years in office, being more the president he always wanted to be. Uh-oh. You mean like fundamentally transforming the nation? Yeah, just like that. I mean, he's got this great climate deal with China, which, of course, they're going to violate in its way in the future and doesn't mean anything, and we're going to end up spending a lot of money. Shielding 5 million undocumented immigrants from deportation. You mean amnesty? Yeah, that's great. And a deal that funds most of the government for nearly a year. Yeah, that's where the Republicans caved in and stabbed you in the back. But now that the midterms are done, he gets to do whatever he wants to. And you got to understand, and this is very important, coming from Politico. See, when Congress doesn't act, then it's up to the president. Did you see that little loophole in the Constitution that says if Congress doesn't do what you want to, you get to go around them? Oh, yeah. And they said, yeah, there were some problems in 2014. I mean, Vladimir Putin's geopolitical flip-off, bureaucratic bungling of veterans' health care, the horrible response to it, ISIS hitting the golf course just hours after the beheading of U.S. journalist James Foley, Ebola and a horrible response to that. Obamacare still in big trouble. But now look what he's doing. I mean, everything's going great. Yeah, CNN's Gloria Borger said it's awesome that Obama's going around Congress and doing all this stuff on his own. And in fact, she said he reminds her of someone. Listen to this.
I think he's kind of like Clark Kent stepping into the phone booth and coming out with the cape and saying, okay, now I'm going to do what I always wanted to do. And he's doing it.
Yeah. And so we'll see what happens in the next 2 years.
Yeah, see, that's great. That is Obama at his best. The only thing missing from this president is a cape. Okay. Hey, I got to talk to you. I know a lot of you are hanging in there, and I'm going to come to you for sure. A lot of people want to chime in on this idea of the economy being awesome, according to President Obama. So we'll get your phone calls on it. And then Eric Holder. He's also evidently got a pen where he's decreeing new people, new classes of people covered by our civil rights law. We'll get to it all. My name's Greg Knapp. This is the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
This is the Savage Nation. My name's Greg Knapp, filling in for the doctor. 855-400-SAVAGE gets you on board the program. 855-400-SAVAGE. We'll get into Eric Holder decreeing a new type of person to be protected under civil rights law in just a little bit. We've also got a liberal constitutional lawyer saying President Obama is really hurting the balance of powers. Liberal guy who likes his policies. But a lot of you wanted to chime in on this idea that somehow the economy is just running on all cylinders now, and some of you not buying it. Let me start with David, WVNN in Alabama. David, you're on the Savage Nation. I'm filling in for the doctor. My name's Greg Knapp. Go right ahead.
Hey, Greg. This Obama and this administration has changed how GDP is calculated. They've changed border enforcement statistics. Everything they do is done to go around the CBO. And I am positive if somebody's working three part-time jobs, that's coming out as three jobs created or saved. And we also know that two part-time jobs are not equal to one full-time job, especially in Obama days. And that's
well, you bring up some very good points, Dave. Thanks for the call. That first of all, you are right that they've played with a lot of numbers. And we have more people who have totally dropped out of the workforce today than we had way more than in 2008. And that totally manipulates the unemployment number. The real unemployment, they think nationwide, is still around 11 to 12%. That's not good. You're absolutely right that they've manipulated that. And you know, man, look, you do have to question everything. They manipulated the money, the number about deportations. Because they started counting people that were caught at the border and turned back as deportations. It had never been counted that way before. And just the other day, they caught them manipulating the numbers for how many people signed up for Obamacare because they double counted people. People who had signed up for dental insurance, they counted the same thing as health insurance. So you're right. You've got to watch the numbers. And then you got to look at your own life like Kyle does. Kyle, WMAL, you're on the Savage Nation. Go right ahead.
Yeah, I've been out of work since 2013, and I'm doing a lot with this other guy does. I've lost my teaching job, and so I have to go around substituting, and it pays much less.
Mm-hmm.
I have to do it in three different school systems, and the kicker is I don't get any health insurance. And I've got...
Well, but now you got Obamacare, Kyle. See, you don't need to worry anymore.
Right, right, yeah. Well, you know, I have to get these shots for the cost, you know, for cancer that cost umpteen dollars. You know, I get a little bit of a discount because I'm, you know, down and out. But, you know, the latest one cost me over $1,400, and I can't pay for it.
Man, that is rough.
Yeah, and you know it's embarrassing around you know the holidays or whatever because you know you can't really give to your family like you want to, and you know I'm an
so you're not person. Seeing it. You're not seeing it personally, and you're not seeing it in your area. This economic recovery that we're being told about, Kyle. I feel for you, man. Keep at it. Don't give up. If you keep at it, I know something's going to turn around for you, and it's going to get better. I appreciate the call. I think you speak for a lot of people that are saying, you know, we can't just keep saying sunny talk all the time. We've got to understand we still got a long way to go. Appreciate that. Hey, let me get you this that I told you I was going to get to you before we go back to the calls. President Obama talking about how, according to his aides, he's really going to be unleashed now. I mean, you thought he was doing executive orders before. He's really doing executive orders now. And as you look through this, the USA Today did a little bit where they took a look at not just executive orders, but these things called presidential memoranda. It was Gregory Court writing on this. And he said, you know, the Obama administration loves to say, hey, Obama hasn't done a lot of executive orders. He's done fewer executive orders at this time in his presidency than George W. Bush did, fewer executive orders than Bill Clinton did. So what are you talking about that he's used too many executive orders? Okay, first of all, it's not the number you do. It's whether they're legal or not. And Obama's, when you talk about rewriting immigration law, sorry, dude, that's not legal. All right? So it's not about the number, it's about what you do with it. But here's what Court found. Obama has issued a form of executive action known as presidential memorandum more often than any other president in history. And he's used it to take unilateral action, even though he signed fewer executive orders. This new illegal alien amnesty, so far he's only done presidential memorandum. He hasn't done an executive order. When you add those two together, executive orders and presidential memoranda, then you have Obama on track to take more executive actions than any president since Harry Truman almost seven decades ago. Huh, that's interesting. In fact, Jonathan Turley was on Fox News, and Jonathan Turley was explaining how this can really mess up the balance of powers that the founding fathers put in place. And the liberals who are excited about it now better watch out because the next president won't be so liberal. And when he starts doing something conservatively like this, then what are you going to say? Well, then they'll say it's wrong. They don't care about being hypocrites. They don't care about a double standard. That's what they're going to do. But Jonathan Turley, who is a liberal university, Georgetown University law professor, who likes a lot of what President Obama's policies are, doesn't like the fact that he's violating the Constitution.
Listen to Jonathan Turley.
What's a serious question here is the president's decision to go it alone, not just in this area, but other areas. We don't have a license to go it alone in the United States. The scope of this type of action is legislative in nature. It's huge. It affects millions. But more importantly, it requires both the federal and state governments to spend a great deal of money to support something that didn't go through the legislative branch. And what people miss, and I think what this judge is trying to establish, is that that process of legislation is the very touchstone of our system. It's what brings stability to our system. We have to agree. We have to compromise through legislation. When a president does it unilaterally, it takes that whole system offline, and that could be a dangerous thing.
Yep, and it is. And I'll tell you what, unless Congress stops them, they're complicit in it. And that's why when Senator Ted Cruz stood up at least to do a point of order saying the amnesty was unconstitutional, and he had over 20 Republicans who would not side with him, what does that tell you? Turley said he thinks we're at a tipping point. He said we've seen this trend growing over the years. Our three-branch system is in trouble. We're looking at an Uber presidency. He said the key to a Madisonian system is nobody has enough power to go it alone. That was the genius of James Madison. But we're seeing the rise of a new model of presidency. I believe supporters of Obama will rule the day when they stay silent in the face of this kind of concentration of power. That's right. Absolutely right. But it's not just Obama. No. Let's get Eric Holder in. Eric Holder. Pajamas Media reporting on this. Attorney General Eric Holder has issued an edict through a memorandum. There it is again, a memorandum, and has added two types of people to be protected under the federal civil rights laws: cross-dressers and transsexuals. Wait, what? To Title VII? Yeah, the federal law that prohibits sex discrimination in employment. That law was written to protect women from sex discrimination. And now Eric Holder, on his own, without Congress changing the law, is adding in transsexuals and cross-dressers. You know, that actually was brought up in a House bill, and it failed. So, once again, Obama's using his phone, his pen, and now his attorney general to do what he wants to do. Just make it up. Well, why do you hate transgender people? Why do you hate transsexuals? Well, okay, stop with the nonsense. Here's the problem with just, number one, it's illegal to do it on your own. Congress should do it if you're going to do it. Number two, the problem with it is, it means the Justice Department now could go after an employer who says, hey, listen, I can't have you dressed as a woman working for me because it's going to hurt my customers. I mean, imagine that you're going in to buy a piece of jewelry this Christmas, and the salesman behind the counter is a 6'4", 300-pound man with a beard, but he's also wearing full makeup, a woman's wig, and a woman's dress. Might you feel a little uncomfortable with your fiancé trying to buy your engagement ring from this guy? No, because if you are, you're some kind of a bigot. Well, you know what? The point of an employer is to try to get the people selling that the customers are going to really like and relate to. And it's a little weird and disconcerting. Oh, you bigot. This stuff is not covered by Title VII, but they're ordering it to be done. Wow. Just another little bit. Just another little bit. And why stop with that? Why stop with that? Let me get Andrew in, WABC. Andrew, you're on the Savage Nation. My name's Greg Knapp, in for the doctor.
Hey, Greg. Hey, I can tie my comment into executive orders and, big government takeover. Obama fails to mention, of course, and people, liberal pundits, don't mention that the economy, the number one reason for the recession was the housing market crash due to the government and Fannie and Freddie and subprime loans forcing banks to give out subprime loans. President Obama, as a senator, fully supported it. He was the number one bundler of subprime money through Fannie and Freddie. He voted against stopping it twice. The Republicans were in a minority. They put forth legislation to stop it. Obama voted against it. They put forth the second bill and said, well, can we at least have 3% down instead of 1%? Obama voted against that. Clinton repealed the Glass-Steagall Act, which made the banks easier to swap the toxic loans. Then he lied and blamed it on Bush.
Hey, that's good stuff, man. Thank you for getting in. I'll tell you, you know more about the actual bills than I do on that stuff, because I don't think the Republicans push hard enough to stop that, but you are absolutely correct that the Community Reinvestment Act, pushing for more subprime loans, because otherwise you were being racist against minority homebuyers, did lead to a lot of people owning homes that they could not afford. And we pushed that on them. And we told these banks, if you do not do this, we will not let you expand, and we may even come after you for discrimination. There's no doubt about it. And then Fannie and Freddie bought up all these subprime loans and put us on the hook with these government-sponsored entities. It's worth repeating that all that was going on, and the Democrats were big time in favor of it. Now, I give plenty of blame to President George W. Bush for doing the big stimulus buy, just like Obama did. He bought into this nonsense as well, that you got to bail out the big banks. So both parties and both presidents deserve a lot of blame for that. But you're absolutely right that it was the government getting so involved with the housing market that had the most to do with this meltdown. And the government trying to save everything supposedly with these corporate bailouts has the most to do with why it's taking so long to getting us back up. And then you add in all of the Keynesian economics that the Obama people put in that hasn't worked, and they're still trying to tell you that it did. Yep, good stuff. Hey, I appreciate that. I want to get you into this idea of eating alone in the age of the smartphone before we end this hour, because it's a very interesting story. And, well, we will get into the Cuba thing. We've got some people holding on that one, saying, you know, Obama was right on Cuba. What do you think? We'll hit it in just a moment. 855-400-SAVAGE. Get you in. 855-400-SAVAGE. My name's Greg Knapp. In for the doctor. This is the Savage
Join Nation. Join the Savage Nation. Call now. 855-400-SAVAGE. 855-400-7282. Savage.
My Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com. It's the only company I trust to protect my wealth. Call 800-BUY-COIN. Hey.
Hey, how you doing? This is the Savage Nation. I'm in for the doctor. My name is Greg Knapp. You can jump in with us, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-SAVAGE. And you can check out Stop the Coming Civil War by the doctor online as well. Great stocking stuffer. Take your calls here in just a second on everything we've been talking about on the program. But I wanted to get this to you this hour. Wall Street Journal today, Bob Green has this piece. And he's talking about how more and more Americans are eating alone. A majority of their meals eating alone. Think about that for a second. Do you eat most of your meals every day alone? Breakfast, are you eating with your family, or are you grabbing something on the way out the door, or do you even eat breakfast? Lunch, eating it at your desk? Or are you eating it while you're out on a sales call and just picking it up and eating in the car alone? Dinner, do you have time where the entire family sits down together and eats it, or does everybody just grab it as they can trying to get stuff done? See, sometimes I think we think it's progress and we think it's worth it to work that extra half hour, or work that extra hour, or make that extra deal, and what are we doing? And he says there's a new survey out that shows a majority of Americans now eat more than half of their meals alone. People are busy. They don't have time for it. Routinely away from home during the meals. And more than 50% of Americans, for the first time since they've been measuring these numbers, more than 50% of Americans who are 16 years of age or older are single. First time ever. So what are we doing during meals? Well, they're saying since you're alone and you don't really want to be alone while you eat, you pull out the smartphone or you pull out the tablet, and now you've got Facebook open and Twitter open and text messages. So you've got this constant barrage of stimulation while you're eating, but not real human interaction. And people are losing the ability to just enjoy a meal and talk with each other. And so what, Greg? So what? I mean, it's just as good. Who cares? Well, more than 20 years ago, there was a study on nutrition in the Journals of Gerontology, and they found that among elderly people, 98% of those who were married said they enjoyed mealtimes. Half of those who were widowed said they eat out of habit or just to survive. And I think the more we pull ourselves away from having that social interaction that is so important as a human being, the less fulfilled our lives are and the less happy we are. And I think there's a lot more to it than just trying to get things done.
And here's the other thing I've noticed. Have you ever eaten TV, eaten your food while you're watching TV, or paying too much attention to your smartphone or your computer or your laptop or whatever, tablet, and you notice you just ate a whole meal and you can't remember what you ate? I mean, there's something to be said. You know what I've been doing lately for lunch, when I take my lunch, is, because I've been doing it, I do it at home because I'm a morning show guy, and so I am alone. I just spend the time in silence, and I focus on actually eating the food and enjoying it. Man, it is a relaxing time that rejuvenates me. Try it. Don't you need some rejuvenation? I think most of us do. Hey, I'll get your phone calls on this idea of Eric Holder doing the transgender, transsexual civil rights deal. Hang tight. This is the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage. Warning. The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
Hey, how you doing? This is the Savage Nation. I'm in for the doctor. My name's Greg Knapp, and you can jump in with us as well on the Savage Nation at 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-SAVAGE, or michaelsavage.com. Don't forget to check out Stop the Coming Civil War, the new book by Dr. Savage. Great stocking stuffer. You can get it before Christmas time. You know, we were talking about Eric Holder, the Attorney General. Now, he is also making new law. Well, you know, with the help of President Obama, where they're now saying two new categories under the civil rights laws to prevent sex discrimination at work, which, of course, was written so that women wouldn't be discriminated against. Now they're saying transgender and transsexual, which could mean that the Attorney General and the Department of Justice could come after you if you say, listen, man, I can't hire you. You're a man dressed like a woman, and it's going to mess up my business. I can't have my salesman doing that. Uh-oh. And it's got some people wondering what's next. Well, David wanted to jump in Des Moines. David, you're on the Savage Nation. My name is Greg Knapp, filling in. Go right ahead.
Hello. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
In regard to Eric Holder's recent decision to amend the civil rights laws or the protected classes as he saw fit, I think he's really created a dangerous precedent for the simple reason that to be a protected class, such as a woman for which, you know, the original law was created, or in other protected classes with regard to hate crimes, being a specific minority, or even being handicapped, those are all legally and scientifically identifiable things that you can use, you know. And but the problem is with somebody just claiming that they decide to want to be a cross-dresser, you know, that's something that is basically their own opinion of themselves at that time, and legally it would be incredibly hard for somebody to prove definitively one way or the other.
You know, but see, that's where we're going. But see, what they're saying, David, and what these groups say is that, well, you think it's just my opinion, but it's who I am. And nobody has the right to tell me who I am except me. And therefore, whatever I decide my gender is what my gender is. And for you to say that I can't express that the way I want to, you're discriminating against me. And David, I think you're right. It opens the floodgates for some very crazy stuff. Thanks for getting in. There was a school that actually has already lost a lawsuit. It was pretty expensive. I think it was like $50,000, $75,000. I don't have it in front of me. It's in the back of my head. Because they said that a boy who claimed he was a girl couldn't use the girl's bathroom, and they had him use the faculty bathroom, a onesie, I believe it was, so that he wouldn't get anybody in trouble. That wasn't good enough. Nope. And as we're seeing more and more school districts starting to capitulate to this, well, you're going to see more of it. It's going to trickle down. Well, why do you even care? Don't you understand? These children do feel like they're a boy trapped in a woman's body, or a girl trapped in a man's body, and they should be able to do what they want to. And, of course, what you forget about is the ramifications of that. Where, hey, if you're a boy who claims he's a girl, Now do you get to shower in the girls' showers after P.E.? I mean, you're claiming you're a girl, and you got to listen to what they say. Those are the kind of unintended consequences that come down that when you bring those up, people go, oh, well, that's crazy. That's silly. Yeah, unless it's your daughter in that shower, then it's not so crazy. Yep. Well, that's not the only thing Eric Holder was doing on this. Eric Holder was asked, I believe this was on CNN, where he was asked, can you say that if you're a person of color, you shouldn't be afraid of the police? And after he tried to, you know, play it both ways, here's what he actually said to that question.
We're not at a stage yet where I can honestly say, you know, truthfully say that if you're a person of color, you should not be worried about any interaction that you have with the police in the same way that I can't say to a police officer. You shouldn't worry about what community you are being asked to operate in. And so there is work that our nation has to do. It's what the president has asked me to do in going around the nation and having these interactions. And it's what we are as an administration committed to doing, to building trust that that does not now exist.
Right. That's what you've been doing. That's what you've been doing by having Al Sharpton come into the White House, is building trust between the police and the community. That's what you've been doing with the Ferguson protesters in the White House, is building trust. That's what you've been doing when you say things like, if I had a son, he'd look like Trayvon Martin. That's the way you build trust. That's what you've been doing. That's what you've been doing where you and where Michelle Obama and President Obama do this People magazine article where they cast aspersions on America being a racist nation. That's the way you build trust, right? Are you insane? And trying to equivocate the idea that a black man being afraid of a police officer, a black man who's doing nothing wrong, is the same as an officer being a little bit concerned about going into the most dangerous neighborhood in town, unbelievably ridiculous. Now, hey, you don't know me from Adam. I'm filling in for Dr. Savage. I will tell you this. I agree there are bad cops. I agree there are probably racist cops. I agree that sometimes there is police brutality. Sometimes they try to do too much with their power. And I agree that we have militarized the police too much. I agree with all of that. And I've been talking about that, by the way, for years, not just for the last few months. However, on the other side of that, if you really look at the grand jury evidence that they saw in the Michael Brown shooting that they have released, if you've really gone through a lot of that, you understand exactly why they didn't indict that officer. Especially if you look at the audio evidence of the gunshots that was on that dude's computer and the amount of space that Michael Brown had to cover from where he was when the shooting started to where he ended up when the shooting stopped, he was moving at that officer at a high rate of speed, about double the speed that the average person walks. That's what the audio evidence, if you simply look at distance covered in the time that it was covered. And even at the New York one, you know, the New York cops are saying, wait a second, you really look at that, that wasn't a chokehold. The medical examiner showed there was no danger to his windpipe at all. Now, I didn't like how that looked on the video, but I want to see everything the grand jury saw to figure out why they didn't indict him, because New York's not exactly a place that you would think is so behind the police that they're not going to go after somebody if they did something wrong. But that's what this administration does. This is what they do. They are the most divisive administration in my lifetime. And they are looking at the world through race color glasses. By the way, neither of those cases has there been any evidence presented at all to prove racism. Give me one example. Give me one little piece of evidence. Well, we all know. No, that's not how it works in America. You're innocent until proven guilty. Where is the evidence there was any racism by these police officers at all? You understand, in the New York case, the supervisor that arrived on the scene for the takedown, a female black sergeant. Where's the racism in these cases? And as Colin Faraday writes at the American Thinker in a piece up there today, he said, you know, they're searching for the next Michael Brown. Now, every time there's an interaction between police and a black individual that turns out to be where shooting's involved, it's the next Michael Brown. He said, here's one from Philadelphia. Early Monday morning, police shot Brandon Tate Brown. He was driving at 3 a.m. without his headlights on. The two officers stopped him. As soon as he got out of the car, a struggle began. But
He got back in his car and lunged for a gun. They shot him and killed him. The gun turned out to be stolen. The dead man, a hardcore convict with a history of shooting people and doing time in prison. Being possession of, in that, of that gun was against the law, and he would have gone back to prison. But his family still said, from my eyes, he was a good guy. I would like to know why the police have the right to kill instead of disabling. It has to stop. He recently spent 5 years in prison for trying to kill somebody. He had four prior convictions, two for attempted murder. And yet his family says he was a jovial guy. In fact, his mother said, with the assistance of Al Sharpton's National Action Network, that her son would never do anything like starting a fight with a cop. See? He's the next Michael Brown. See, the truth doesn't matter. The agenda is what matters. About 100 miles away in Baltimore, another cop facing the same situation. A cop at a gas station noticed a strong aroma of sweet marijuana coming out of a car. He radioed a patrol car to make the stop. The police removed the driver from the car, no problem. In the back seat, 19-year-old Dante Jones refused the request to get out of the car. And he sat there with his hands in his waistband. Police threatened to tase him. So he shot the cops three times. He ran. They caught him alive. And later at a press conference, the police officials described Jones as a repeat offender with weapons violations. Thank God the cop is still alive. And some are wondering, will there be a march for that cop like there was a march for Michael Brown? And it goes on and on and on. Yeah. This talk of America being a racist nation goes on and on from a black man who's been elected twice by a majority white nation. By Eric Holder, who has had all kinds of opportunities in his life that most Americans never get, regardless of their skin color. The most divisive administration on this ever. For President Obama and his wife to go on and talk with People magazine, and for Michelle Obama now to twist something that in 2013 she said was a fun time at the Target where a short lady asked for help and she was glad to give it to her, into this lady mistook me for the help and it was racist, is the most divisive thing this president can do. But you know, he needs to for his street cred. He needs to for his base. He needs to show that he's a victim of racism. What do you think? Well, Jason Riley, Wall Street Journal, talking about President Obama saying, you know, there's not a professional black man who hasn't been mistaken for a valet a time or two, and I have. You know, one time I was at a gala wearing a tux, and I thought I was a waiter. Now, all that happened before he was president, but, you know, it doesn't matter. Jason Riley from the Wall Street Journal said, I got a little problem with this from the First Family. Listen.
The issue here isn't whether racism still exists in America.
Right.
The issue is whether racism is still a major barrier to black progress in this country. And clearly, the presence of a black president in the White House is a sign of progress in this country. And I think the president is urging black America to continue to see themselves as victims, to pretend that nothing has changed. That is not what black men need to hear from the President of the United States or the Attorney General. What blacks need from this president, you know, are for him to talk about jobs and economic growth and those sort of things. They don't need to see themselves as victims, and that's what he's encouraging them to do out of political expediency. This plays well with his base, and that's unfortunate.
Yeah, it is. Now, Jason Riley, by the way, happens to be a black man for the Wall Street Journal. And he says the agenda is to feed a certain narrative, which is blaming racism, using racism as an all-purpose explanation of what ails black America. In other words, we're not supposed to see Obama and Michelle Obama as what America holds out for blacks these days. They don't want us to see them as exceptions. They want us, excuse me, to see them as exceptions where nothing has really changed. Or the exception to the rule. And I think that sends the wrong message. He's right. Absolutely right. Let me get Paul in, WABC. Paul, my name is Greg Knapp, in for the doctor on the Savage Nation. Go right ahead.
Hi, good evening, sir. I'm a retired NYPD detective. I just like to say, as our blood flows in the streets, ruthless politicians use and abuse us to get elected and reelected. Case in point is bizarre murder case at CNN.com. That's bizarre.com.
Go ahead. We're losing you. What's the case you're talking about?
Sorry, I thought I was disconnected. Basically, rogue DA Jeanine Pirro, with the help of Al Sharpton, sent an innocent New York City cop to prison, Richard DiGuglielmo, for saving his father's life from a bat-wielding career criminal. At bizarre murder case at CNN.com.
And to the guys off air, for sure, because we certainly can't do it on air. But Al Sharpton is a guy going back to Tawana Brawley, going back to the Crown Heights riots, going back. This is a guy that should be a pariah, and yet Obama embraces him. This is one of the most divisive guys in the nation, and Obama embraces him. What does that tell you? I'm going to get more of your thoughts on it in just a bit. And by the way, the ladies at The View, talking about Michelle and Obama and President Obama and their experiences with racism, can't even get the facts right to talk about it. And I'll tell you why that's important in a moment. It's 855-400-SAVAGE to get you in. 855-400-SAVAGE. My name's Greg Knapp. In for the doctor. This is the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now. 855-400-SAVAGE. 855-400-7282. Savage.
My Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I trust to protect my wealth with gold and silver. Call 800-BUYCOIN.
How you doing? This is the Savage Nation. I'm in for Dr. Savage. My name's Greg Knapp. You can jump in at 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-SAVAGE. We got a lot of things going on here. One of the things we were talking about, Eric Holder coming out and saying, you know, I can't really say that if you're a person of color, you shouldn't be afraid of the police. I mean, if you know, just like I can't say that police shouldn't be a little bit nervous about going to certain neighborhoods. Oh, really? Oh, man. Let me go to Richard, WMAL, Virginia. Richard, you're on the Savage Nation. Go right ahead.
Thank you for taking my call. The one solution that I've not heard anybody mention is that perhaps the people who are so afraid of the police and everything, they need to learn that you don't break the law. If you break the law, you're going to have to be arrested. If you attack a policeman, the arrest is going to have to get tougher. And nowhere have I heard anybody say that, you know, the parents need to talk to get their children to understand this. These community leaders need to talk to the people who are being arrested and say, come on, you're putting yourself in a position where things can get ugly.
You're absolutely right, Richard, and thanks for the call. And here's the problem. Instead of saying, hey, look, we need to work with the police, we need to be respectful of the police, we need to understand that they have to be on guard because there are people who attack them. There was just a guy in Ohio a couple weeks ago that had a real gun painted bright red to make it look like a toy. Thank God they didn't have to kill the guy, but from what I understand, if I'm remembering the story correctly. But you're right. Instead of that, what we're doing, instead of saying, as I've taught my daughters, hey, my oldest is driving now. If you get pulled over, here's what you do. I want you to keep your hands up on the wheel so the officer can see them. I want you to be extremely respectful to the police officer. I want you to know these are your rights. He doesn't have the right to search your car without a warrant, nor unless he can see something really bad in the car that you better not have. But if he ever does, you know, arrest you, I don't want you fighting with the police. You know, I can come down, I can get a lawyer, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, you've got to work that out. Absolutely got to work that out. And that is being left out of this conversation by President Obama and Eric Holder. My name is Greg Knapp. I'm the Savage Nation.
Joy.
Hey, how you doing? This is the Savage Nation. My name is Greg Knapp, in for the doctor. We're going to get back into this Sony hacking thing in a minute. We've got The View getting the facts wrong on the Obama race accusations. And I've even got Harvard getting rid of the SodaStream machines on campus. Wait till you hear why. Oh, just crazy stuff going on all over the place. First, though, let's get The View ladies in. Oh, yeah, I don't watch the show. I'm sure you don't watch the show, but I saw this on the Internet. After the Obamas came out and talked about what happened to them, what happened to President Obama before he was president, of being mistaken for a valet and mistaken for a waiter. The View came out and said, can you imagine how stupid Americans are to confuse the president, the leader of the free world, with a valet? That's not what happened, you morons. But they said it several times. Rosie Perez asked Whoopi Goldberg, you don't think it's racist if someone turns to the leader of the free world and says, can you park my car? That's not what happened, guys. This didn't happen while he was president. Do you know how ridiculous you sound saying that? Could these people are on national TV. Could somebody please get them a newspaper? Could somebody please get some sense into their heads? Are you kidding me? The president of the United States of America, surrounded all the time when he goes outside the White House with an entourage. There is no way that anybody could walk up to him, hey, Obama, park my car, and flip their keys to him. Are you kidding? Now, why do I even bring this up? Because there is a segment of our population that watches The View and they think it's news. There is a segment of our population that watches The View and thinks that those ladies know what they're talking about and are telling them the truth. So there is a segment of our population now that believes that some racist thought Obama, as president, was a valet. I'm just flabbergasted. Sometimes all you can say, all you can do is hold your head in your hands and weep. I weep for the future of the country. 855-400-SAVAGE gets you on board the program. 855-400-SAVAGE. You can also go to michaelsavage.com. Let me get Tim in, North Carolina. Tim, you're on the Savage Nation. My name's Greg Knapp, filling in. Go right ahead.
Thank you for taking my call, Greg. I just wanted to point out that there is an epidemic of prejudice unleashed in this country like I've never seen. As a kid growing up, we were taught, you know, you don't judge somebody based on the color of skin. You know, Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. said it best, let a man be judged by the character and content of his heart and not by the color of his skin. And, you know, you just, everywhere you look, all cops are bad, all whites are racist, all Hispanics are illegal. How can this be? How can it be that we as a nation have let ourselves fall to them? And don't you think that that's the problem, is prejudice is just going crazy here?
I think you are right that prejudice has been on the wane, thank God, that we have come a tremendously long way, that very few people are racist in this nation as a percentage basis, that one of the worst things you can call somebody in this nation is racist. I mean, and you're right that the younger generation is getting better every time. I told you about my daughters. I got a 15-year-old and a 12-year-old. My 15-year-old, when we carpool, just about every race you can think about, she's got friends who are Indian. She's got friends who are black. She's got friends who are Asian. She's got friends who are white. And depending on the day, we've got all those different kids in the minivan. It's awesome. And nobody, she was telling me the other day, she goes, you know, Dad, I don't understand this. We never even talk about race. We're just all friends. Yes. And in fact, when we took them to see Big River, you know, the Huckleberry Finn book set to, it's a musical. We took them to see Big River because they're really into musicals. And I knew the N-word was going to be in this movie, a play, excuse me, musical, whatever you want to call it. So I had to tell my youngest, and actually I told both of them, I said, listen, there's a word in here that's going to be kind of offensive, and I just want you to be aware of it. My youngest daughter didn't even know what that word was. She had never heard the word, and my oldest daughter only knew it from reading other books of literature. Now, think about that. That's cool. That's awesome to me that they never even heard that word before. We have come a tremendously long way. Does that mean that there is no racism at all? No. But you realize Sony has reached out to Al Sharpton to have him have some say over the movies they make so they can be more, quote, diverse? Al Sharpton? This guy is one of the most divisive guys in the world. Unbelievable. Let me get Hubert in Alabama. Hubert, you're on the Savage Nation. My name's Greg Knapp, filling in. Go right ahead. Hey, Hubert. Uh-oh, we lost Hubert. Hubert was trying to say police don't treat citizens with enough respect. I will grant you that sometimes that happens. I've been in favor of body cams and been talking about body cams for years because I think it helps both. If you know you're on videotape, you're on your best behavior. Whether you're the cop or whether you are the person the cop is talking to, I think body cams are the way to go. I think you're right that there are police officers who do not treat their people with respect. Like I said, I was a probation and parole officer. I knew really good cops, and I knew some bad cops, just like any other profession.
So absolutely, I think we got to be careful on that stuff. Let me get Ardell in Las Vegas. Ardell, you're on the Savage Nation. My name's Greg Knapp, filling in. Go right ahead.
This thing with Obama being a valet, I don't believe that at all. Because in all these speeches he gives, he always associates with the regular people. That's what he wants to do. He's just the regular guy being picked on. So this is another thing with the valet. I personally don't believe it happened.
Well, you know, Ardell, you may be right, because with all the lies this guy's told us, from if you like your doctor, you can keep your doctor, to to what happened with Fast and Furious and Benghazi and on and on and on, he does lack a little credibility. So who knows? I mean, there's no way to prove it one way or the other. Thanks, Ardell. I appreciate it. Oh, the other thing is the Cuba thing. And we haven't had time to talk about it today. I know the doctor talked about it extensively a couple days ago. My thing is, all right, 55 years, hasn't been working, maybe it's time for a change. Maybe it is. But if so, then don't you lead the American people to that decision, and don't you involve Congress in the decision, and don't you get something out of it? I mean, nothing. 57,000 people in work camps in Cuba. None of them are going to be released. You can get arrested just because you disagree with Raul Castro and put in a political prison. That's not changing. There's no freedom of speech. There's no freedom of assembly. Private property rights are basically out the window. You got nothing to help these people. And Obama even made it seem like we were the bad guy in this. I'll get to that in the middle. In a minute. Meanwhile, great piece in the Daily Beast today. Cuba protects America's most wanted. Dozens of American fugitives have asylum in Cuba, including a cop killer on the FBI's most wanted terrorist list. We had three black militants that got asylum for the 1972 murder of a New Mexico state trooper. Only one of them is still alive. About 80 other American fugitives in Cuba who got asylum. One was Ismail Ali Labif, who hijacked an airplane after he and four buddies murdered eight innocent people during a robbery at a Virgin Islands golf course. Are we going to get them back to punish them? There's William Morales, Puerto Rican independence group, the FALN, terrorist group, lost most of both of his hands while assembling a device in the bomb factory for FALN in 1979, but managed to escape from a hospital ward. Are we going to get these guys back? See, these are the things that you wonder when Obama was negotiating this. Great piece in IBD. Obama does his old preacher proud. Here's what President Obama said addressing the Cuban people. Others have seen us as a former colonizer, intent on controlling your future. Let us leave behind the legacy of both colonization and communism. What? We didn't colonize Cuba. We actually rescued Cubans. They had spent decades fighting off colonization by Spain. In 1898, we defeated Spain and gave Cuba its independence. What is Obama talking about? Well, it's the kind of stuff that the Reverend Wright taught in the Black Liberation Theology, and what Reverend Wright preached about in the church that supposedly Obama didn't really listen to. Even though in Obama's own books, he talks about Reverend Wright bringing him his faith, and speeches by the Reverend Wright that brought him to tears. Pulpit calls for ending sanctions and normalizing relations with the Castro regime were in Reverend Wright's church for a couple decades. He worked with the Council of Churches in Cuba that the Cuban intelligence defectors say is an arm of Cuba's secret police. Wright preached that America is run by white racist DNA. He gave sermons that Israel oppresses the Palestinian people. Reprinted the Hamas Charter in the church bulletin. This is where he went for a couple decades. Maybe this is part of President Obama now being unleashed. No more elections. Gets to do what he wants to do. Let me get Brian in, WABC. Brian, my name is Greg Knapp, in for Dr. Savage. You're on the Savage Nation. Go right ahead.
Greg, how you doing?
Doing well.
Thank you very much for letting me on the program, and I really appreciate all the issues that you're raising today. One of the things I would like to address in context of talking about Cuba is you're talking about Obama being, you know, disrupting, racist, first black president,
And you cited a couple of articles where people were talking about African Americans, talking about how he's, you know, a black president and he's stoking the race plans. I would argue that Obama isn't the first black president. He's the first black and white president. His mother
is
white.
No, you're right.
His grandparents is white. So my question is, well, this is first a question and then a statement. It seems to me that you, as a person of media power who's talking to the whole nation, by calling him a black president, you're pigeonholing him when he's actually a black and white president.
Well, here's the thing, though. This is how he describes himself. And so there's a difference between me doing it to him. In fact, you know what's funny is, Brian, is that when he first became president and I would say, you know, black and white president, I had people calling me racist for saying that. How dare you say he's a black and white president? But he is. Yeah, but so you're, what are you trying to say with that? You're trying to say that he's not really black? And I'm like, no, I'm trying to say he's black and white. I mean, I thought it was a good thing that he's a mix, just like Tiger Woods says, I'm Blaucasian. But it seems like, Brian, I can't win either way.
Well, I called to speak about Cuba and what I think is going on. And I think that one of the things that I think Obama pledged to do as president when he won back in 2008 was that he was going to bring not only the United States but the world together. And I think his actions in Cuba, he basically said the definition of insanity when you do the same over and over.
Yes, I understand. We don't need to replay what he said. But, Brian, here's the problem. First of all, he is not bringing the world together. He's dividing it more than ever. If you go to every nation they've done the survey in, actually has a lower opinion of us now than they did when he came in, when he said he was going to repair what happened with George W. Bush. This is not uniting the nation. Now, I agree with you. For 55 years we've done this, and we haven't seen a whole lot of change in Cuba. However, if you're going to do this, you need to explain how this is going to get better and in such a way that you actually lead people to it, and you should get something out of it. Otherwise, why aren't we just normalizing relations with North Korea?
Well, it
doesn't make any sense. Thanks for the call. I appreciate it. We want to try and get some other people in and a couple other stories before we run out of time today. If you're going to do this, you go through Congress, you lead the American people, but see, This is really not about what we've done hasn't worked. This is President Obama believes that we're the problem, that what we did created this problem in Cuba. Even though we've got all kinds of humanitarian aid still going in there, we still do a lot of trade with Cuba, even with the embargo, Venezuela, Russia, these other Latin American countries, all of that, there's a reason the Cuban people still have not succeeded, and it's not because of us, it's because of the system the Castros have. Because there is no freedom of speech. There is no freedom of assembly. There is no real private property rights. All the stuff that really brings out the potential in people has been suffocated by the Castros. And they're only 90 miles away. So, no, I'm not buying that he's uniting the world. 855-400-SAVAGE, get you on board. 855-400-SAVAGE, and you are in. Hey, did you know there's something in your medicine cabinet that might make you live 12 years longer? I'll hit that before we run out of time. My name's Greg Knapp. I'm in for the doctor. This is the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Your Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com. It's the only company I trust for tangible assets, gold and silver. Call 800-BUY-COIN.
Hey, how you doing? This is the Savage Nation. I'm in for Dr. Savage. My name is Greg Knapp. 855-400-SAVAGE and michaelsavage.com. Don't forget, Stop the Coming Civil War. It's available now. Great stocking stuffer. Get it. Get it in the stocking. Man, you know it's good to be king. President Obama leaving for the rest of the year to Hawaii. And I keep trying to find this. I cannot find it. Somebody's got to find it for me. How many times did President Obama go to Hawaii per year when he wasn't President Obama? You know, I mean, after he moved away from Hawaii. I mean, because his home is Chicago, but every year he goes to Hawaii. The furthest place in the United States he can go for vacation, he goes every year, and we pay for it, and we pay out the wazoo. I mean, he pays some, but we pay most. I mean, dude, you know, if you want to lead by example, since most people can't afford to fly to Hawaii, maybe you should take a smaller trip. this year. Maybe just fly home to Chicago. Maybe just stay at Camp David. Maybe just a little symbolism of understanding that not everybody can just fly to Hawaii at the drop of a hat and stay for 3 weeks. I mean, come on. No, it doesn't matter. He's the king. I mean, the president. Hey, did you know you got something in your medicine cabinet that might help you live an extra 12 years? It's a new study. And Dr. Brian Kennedy, president and chief executive of the Buck Institute for Research on Aging in California, and Professor Michael Polymenis at Texas A&M, they said regular doses of ibuprofen could allow you to live up to 12 years longer. And even better, not just 12 bad old years, you know, where you're barely able to walk. No, 12 years longer and maintain your fitness and health as you get older. Wow, that sounds pretty cool. They say it, they think it holds back the aging process as well as helping fight disease. They're not sure exactly how yet. They think inflammation has something to do with it. And, of course, this is an anti-inflammatory. The only problem was in this piece I saw, I believe it's the AP reporting on this. The only problem was it doesn't explain to you how many is a good dose. Two a day, one a day? I don't know. And from Harvard University, they want you to know that they are taking out the SodaStream machines. You know the ones that you can make your own soda? Because these machines can be seen as a microaggression to Palestinian students. Why? Well, SodaStream is an Israeli company. You got to be kidding. Scotty, beam me up! Hey, thanks for letting me sit in for the doctor. This is the Savage Nation.
Savage.